May the fourth.
Ganun ba yan?
No, that's
Oo.
Star Trek.
Star Trek.
May the fourth. You do all of the shit like.
Like
May the fourth be ever in your favor.
$1 billion.
Happy May the fourth. May the fourth be with you.
Ever in your favor.
Okay, and speaking of boxing, did you watch Pacquiao's fight the other
I
the other day?
Slept through it.
Yeah, was it yesterday? It was yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So a lot of speculation on whether he really won. And
he should have won. He really lost.
I was sent the tweet of Hayden Koh. Actually, I should have seen it because I follow him on Twitter. And he was, you know, blaming the whole thing. No. He was saying that Mayweather was a
something
was
like
a force
it's
of
a Bible.
The wicked, the
yeah,
wicked,
the wicked
ran away while the
when
brave.
When no one is chasing them, the
okay.
brave.
So again, the narrative
Bible,
of the
scripture.
I think it's a scripture.
Oh.
Good versus evil, people simplifying things, and you know it's related to a lot of the topics that we're talking about today. So it's not as simple that Pacquiao is, you know, good or
the
bad, and. Even Mayweather. A lot of people paint Mayweather
as a good
as,
guy.
No, no,
as
a plain bad guy.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
Of course, I mean, he was both of them, Pacquiao and Mayweather, were driven to those circumstances by poverty. Both of them, actually. I'm not so sure about Mayweather's case.
Yeah.
I don't remember the pre-fight feature on him.
Mm-hmm.
It was a family
it was a boxing
thing, and
family. They're a boxing
I don't know.
Family,
I don't know how much
yeah.
poverty played into that story, but it certainly did. With the story of the more important, the more serious topic that we're talking about, the Mary Jane Veloso issue. You know, I don't know whether she's guilty. You know, she's allegedly. I don't know what's the latest now. What's the verdict? Is she innocent? Is
she
guilty of the charge of smuggling drugs into?
Yeah, well, she's made a written testimony.
Mm-hmm.
That maintains that she was innocent.
Okay.
She went in without knowing what was in her luggage.
Yes.
What's interesting though is there is some inconsistency with what she previously said.
Mm.
One of her testimony, I can't remember which one is the verbal or which one is the written, but one of them said that she was going to Indonesia for a vacation before she took her job in Malaysia, and one of them said that she was going there to find a new job or a different job entirely. So like that's some inconsistency, which
raises some suspicions on her innocence, you know, but regardless of whether she's guilty, the death penalty is just plain wrong. I mean, that's what I think. I don't know what about you guys.
Yeah,
you
I'm in agreement. Like,
okay.
Especially with, if you're on the fence about the death penalty or you're actually whether or not you've made a stand on the death penalty, it would be great to watch this video over here. John Oliver, who hosts Last Week Tonight, had a segment on the death penalty in one of his first few episodes.
Mm.
And in it, he highlighted the three main problems with the death penalty. One is that it's irreversible.
Yeah.
Once you kill someone, you can't bring them back to life.
Yeah, and,
yet.
and too many times, innocent people are, you know.
Yeah, that's another thing. At least in the United States, the statistics are that around up to 4% of death row inmates are innocent.
Yeah.
So that's
innocent.
That's, yeah, innocent. That might keep you up at night. It doesn't keep, who's the guy? Romney?
Conservative people.
Yeah.
I mean, conservative in that
worry.
Sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
They celebrate death penalty.
Yeah, they like their guns and their killings. Okay.
And then the thing with them being innocent, previously considered airtight evidence, is weakened by new technology. Like, for example, with the entry of forensics, a lot of old cases were opened up and we found out, like, hey, wait. The evidence is actually
And I read recently, like hair follicle evidence was recently revealed to be not reliable, and a lot of cases were built
this is
on
from
those.
The FBI.
From the FBI,
yeah,
found out
FBI.
That they just fake the stuff. So
and like, even memory, eyewitness testimony.
Eyewitness testimony. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, that's already, not as not even used. As that's the not hair follicle thing. Yeah. But yeah.
So there are innocent people who have been executed, yeah. And I think the another thing is, it's not a deterrent to crime.
Yeah,
that's like I think one of the things that John Oliver raised.
Yeah,
And especially in the case of Mary Jane, it might be a deterrent for people knowingly bringing in drugs.
Yeah,
but all they're gonna do is to get someone else to bring in drugs unknowingly.
Yeah,
like if as the case might turn out to be.
Mm.
So I think what happened was she was found guilty by their courts, but she's just the execution is just delayed for her to be witness. Mm. Witness in a case.
So it's not yet clear whether she's
she's in
not
the clear.
You know,
yeah. There's no how long the delay will be or if it's permanent.
So it's not. I mean, the people who are thanking God for saving Mary Jane and killing all of the rest of them, you know, like did so prematurely.
Thank you for choosing this particular person to save.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Those reactions. Again, related to what happened during the Pacquiao match, you know, they were saying a lot. Some people were saying Filipinos weren't praying hard enough. That's why Pacquiao lost. I don't know. Maybe and
they use up all their prayers for Mary Jane. I think.
They ran out of prayer power.
Limited.
I mean,
okay.
So it would have like the story would have turned out really really bad if it turned out that Mary Jane was executed and Pacquiao won. Then, like, people, there would be a large, I mean, you can't go thanking God for Pacquiao winning.
Yeah.
Right?
And then, in one case, you know, it's really selective what people think.
So, you pray to God for a bunch of things, and then, like, how does he choose what happens?
And you know, saying that the tragedies in other countries.
Oh, Nepal.
Using it as an opportunity to promote whatever belief system you have, you know, it's time to turn to Jesus. See, your Hinduism or whatever other religion that you have isn't working for you. Time to turn to Jesus. And so insensitive. It's as if no catastrophes happen to their own countries.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the Pinoy pride thing again. A lot of people clamoring for Mary Jane to be saved were kind of silent about all of the other people who were also being executed. You know, leave it to the other. To the citizens of their respective countries to try and do whatever they can. But, you know, as long as you save Mary Jane.
It's just a form of tribalism at scale.
Tribalism in the country scale, definitely, that's it. The Pinoy pride, the same pride that, you know, made people support Pacquiao.
Mm-hmm.
Is at play in something as trivial as Pacquiao's fight. Well, it's not as trivial to a lot of people.
Did you see there's a funny article on The Onion?
Oh, I love
about,
that.
Here's a link. It's about an actual event. This is The Onion reporting on an actual event.
Is this the first time they've ever done it?
I'm not sure. It might be a first.
Yeah.
The Onion put out an article describing Filipinos watching the congressman beat up another person on live television.
Yeah. And, you know, going through the motions as a boxer.
Yeah.
Just in so much detail, you know, putting the Vaseline on his face, like a legislator, a lawmaker.
Just contrasting, like juxtaposing that image of the boxer with the congressman.
I wonder, you know, if they took a survey about that article and a lot of people, you know, who aren't from the Philippines, is this fact or fiction? Is it The Onion being The Onion? I guess only few people got that article then. Because you'd have to know the meta-ness of it, you know, and so few Filipinos appreciate satire.
Yeah.
And this is really satire, anti-satire even, right?
Yeah. But I want to go back to the Mary Jane Veloso case. Yeah, because back to the tribalism. So people are fond of, every time there's a Filipino on death row in China or in Indonesia, people clamor for government intervention and we want them to be saved. And there are a lot of people who might be more innocent than these people on death row, than the Filipinos on death row. And we're not clamoring for them to be saved. Yeah. And I think it would benefit us a lot more if there was just an outright condemnation of the death penalty.
Definitely.
In other countries, and it's not being done here.
Yeah.
But a lot of people here also support people like Duterte.
Yeah.
Who have their own death penalty.
Yeah.
And And
allegedly.
But at least Mary Jane got the benefit of a trial, which Duterte is allegedly not even giving to alleged criminals. And people are
alleged criminals,
and people are still allegedly celebrating this. Like, so if you're gonna be against Mary Jane,
actually, people are really celebrating even the idea of
and they want it
vigilante
to cover the entire Philippines. So, like,
double standards.
Yeah, double standards. So, I mean, you're not okay with Indonesia executing a Filipino or
these
China.
Are Filipinos.
You're against these things, but you don't mind if Duterte does it.
But maybe there's a possibility of innocence, at least for Mary Jane, but for Duterte's alleged victims.
Yeah.
The possibility is nil because he knows. Yeah. He knows. Duterte knows. There's a shirt. Allegedly. Yeah, so again, so much irrationality on tribalism, on just black and white thinking, you know? So either Filipino or not, good or not, you know, or guilty or not. It's not as simple as this. And even the actual criminals who are guilty, you know, 100%. Beyond a reasonable doubt, they're guilty. Do they still deserve to die? You know, like the circumstances that led them to that point. A lot of people do not appreciate that. They just see the one action, the one crime that was committed, but the whole series of events, the circumstances that are outside the control of the person committing that, you know, that last crime, escape them.
Yeah.
And they don't appreciate the fact that if they were under similar circumstances, they would more probably do something like that.
Yeah.
But most definitely, if they had exactly the same circumstances, they would probably do something, the exact same thing.
What's important is that the justice system take into account, like, the decisions to make a crime do not occur in a vacuum. Now, again, it brings us to the restorative justice, retributive justice debate. Now, if you want to prevent future crimes, as statistics have shown, death penalty is not the way.
Yeah.
What you do is you find out, like, what things correlate with these crimes, try to address the issues underneath. Like, in the very obvious one, which is poverty.
Mm.
Diba? Like, if someone did not have to steal or did not have to, found it too hard to earn money with a decent job, then they would not have to resort. Nobody grows up saying, I'm going to be a drug dealer or I'm going to traffic humans. That's not something people inherently want to do. They do it because they're desperate or because of the environment they grew up in.
Yeah, it gets me to thinking now, do we apply the same level of sympathy or even the same kind of sympathy to people like Mayweather? You know, because he beats up women, right? And we don't know the circumstances that led him to do something like that. It's probably the environment of violence he grew up in. His father also was put in jail because of violence. So, you know, how much is Mayweather to blame? And is this particular crime something wherein we can 100% condemn the criminal? Whereas in other crimes, like, you know, drug addiction or stealing, you know, these kinds of crimes, we're more forgiving. But Mayweather is rich, you know, even if he can't read.
Unfortunately, it does make a difference with, like, how people see.
So punching up.
Yeah, kind
of. Punching up. But, you know, I want to be fair.
Yeah.
I want to be fair. Even Mayweather is not 100% bad. In the same way that someone is not just one thing, you know, like, it's generally hated in progressive circles to just call someone by their, or identify someone by their sexuality. You know, you're just gay, you're just a transgender person, or you're just someone who lives with HIV. That's your identity. Now, but it's okay to say Mayweather is nothing but a wife beater or you know, someone who commits violence against women. He's no one else. He can't be a good boxer. He can't be a good businessman because at the end of the day, he's a wife beater. He's less than a man. You know, those kinds of things. I think there is some room for rethinking on behaviors like this because, you know, if you're going to be understanding of the circumstances or the environment that leads to crime, you have to be at least more consistent.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm not saying that violence against women is justified in any way, but I'm also saying that you can condemn those things and also be supportive of humanity, you know, in general, and not retribution, which is what you do when you name call Mayweather as just a wife beater or something. You know, you could be supportive of people in general and also condemn them when they do bad things, but not, you know, just black and white.
Yeah. I think Mayweather doesn't make it easy because when his responses to the allegations are always evading or only God can judge.
Well, that's part of the
part of it.
Yeah, that's part of it. Like the same character flaws that leads him to unquestioningly do whatever or say whatever. Also, you know, it's part of the same thing.
But that is mostly human psychology. Like the how we react to how they react is like pretty much a lot of it is automatic. But I think it is definitely something we should strive to control. And like there's a danger in identifying people by their lowest common
flaws.
Because like there are studies that say people do what is expected of them.
Yeah.
When you identify someone as something or you expect them to do something, more and more they will do that.
Yeah. So Mayweather is no different, I think.
That's true. So if we keep telling him that you're a white beater.
It reinforces.
Yeah, it reinforces his identity as that. It narrows down his opportunities to be something better.
Yeah. So again, the issue of retributive, you know, I'm going to punish Mayweather myself because the justice system isn't doing it, or I'm going to be a part of the rehabilitation. That culture that forgives criminals and whatever kind of offender in the hopes that they will become better people. But Mayweather, it's easy to understand people who condemn him. It's just, you know, that kind of consistency that we should afford even to the least of your brethren. Thank you so much for watching this. So many controversial topics that we will talk about at our next meetup, which we will announce on our website, on our Facebook group. Please like, share, subscribe, and see you next time.
Bye.
May the 4th be with you.